Welcome to Dreaming the Light. I'm Joanna, your guide on this transformative dream journey. In this podcast, we will explore the world of dreams, sleep, and rest, uncovering their remarkable healing potential, even in the most challenging times. Discover practical tools to navigate nightmares, anxiety, and trauma-related sleep issues, as we embark together on a quest to unlock the healing power of your dreams.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'm having a great pleasure of talking with Justina Leslie. She is the founder of Institute for Dream Studies and the author of two amazing books about dreaming. And I think she has at least three decades of work as a dream worker and dream ambassador. So I'm extremely honored to host her today on Dreaming the Light. And I would like to talk to her today about the power of dreams, about the ways that dreams can help us light our way in the dark times, and how we can harness the wisdom that comes to our dreams and take action in order to make real changes to our life. So welcome, Justina. Thank you for being here today.
And thank you for inviting me, Joanne.
Would you like to start by telling us a little bit how dreams entered your life and how did you decide to dedicate your life to dreams?
Yes, I'd love to. Some people, you know, have remembered dreams all of their life and even been, you know, journaled and kept their dreams throughout their life. I'm not one of those. I remember and being infatuated with dreams as a child, but I didn't have the community for discussing dreams. Dreams in my family were not seen as important. They were seen as fantasy and sort of a waste of time for an engineering type mind. And so I didn't get any support in that. But I was actually, it was in 1990 when I was fully introduced to dreams at my church in Atlanta, Georgia. Someone preached about dreams and the importance of dreams. I was so shocked. I never knew, even at that age. Nobody had ever told me that dreams were important. And so I was very intrigued by this. I joined what we call a dream group to share dreams that was led by someone there. And oh my gosh, I started sharing my dreams, remembering my dreams, recording, you know, writing down my dreams in a dream journal. And even from the very beginning, I was amazed at how clearly it gave me a really unique view into my own life. It explained things in my life that I never understood. And it gave me this truth that I had never had of my authentic self. I, a lot of times, had been told that, no, you don't think that way, or you don't really feel that way, or, you know, all of these things, not validating how I, at a very deep level, felt. But my dreams did. And I thought, you know, this is really showing me who I am and who I was born to be. And even with all of my work in psychology and going to counseling and always being interested in that, I had never had this experience until I started exploring my dreams.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I can really relate to that because my upbringing also didn't in any way encourage dreams. On the contrary, it was something strange, weird. It's better not to look there, you know, because who knows what you can find there. So for a long time, I also felt that I had this very similar feeling that there must be something about dreams. I did remember my dreams since I was little, and I always had a lot of dreams, but I was really discouraged. So it also took me time to really embrace this power, this inner wisdom that comes through dreams. And as you said, I feel that if we open this window a little bit, the knowledge, the wisdom, the guidance, it's just going to flow through us. And you cannot deny it once you connect to it.
No, No, you cannot deny it. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And as a dream worker, as a dream group facilitator, as a founder of Institute for Dream Studies, why did you find it so important to bring it to such a level, to create an actual school for people to learn in depth about dreams?
Well, as I started realizing how it was shifting and changing my personal life in such a positive way, I wanted to help other people. I just thought, what? Oh my gosh, this could change the whole world and be a kinder, gentler, more peaceful world if everybody understood and accepted who they really were and had the support of their dreams. So I started organizing dream groups, and you know, I would have five or six, seven people in my dream groups, and then I started organizing more of those. But then I decided that I never had really done any in-depth study in dreams and psychology, so I went back to graduate school and studied with transpersonal psychology with an emphasis in dreams. So this just gave me such a platform and a desire to spread this gift that we all have. And I knew that I couldn't do it by myself because really my target audience was the entire world. I wanted everybody to wake up to their dreams. I was like, why aren't we waking up to our dreams? Why aren't we paying attention to this innate gift that we are given at conception, even before birth, we're dreaming? And this is such a gift. And it seems predominantly to be a wasted gift in the world today. So I wanted to do something to do that. And I thought the only way I can do this is to train other people and make sure that they have an opportunity to really go in depth in their dreams and their personal work in dreams through an institution. And so in 2000 and around three, I started, you know, planning this organization institution, named it the Institute for Dream Studies. And I knew I wanted it to be international because that was the draw for me, is seeing how uniquely alike we all are and the in the world. And so I did it. I just started and announced I was going to have a class, and I was shocked that people actually came and wanted to study. And that's the way it has been since we've opened it. The first class was in 2005, and people come from around the world, like you, Joanna. Oh my gosh, the most incredible people. I feel so fortunate because I think dreams really do draw people who are very curious about life and open to new ways of thinking and really willing to look at their own lives and make changes and really persistent, difficult challenges, face those. And that, you know, our grads around the world are amazing people like you. And gosh, I'm just so glad that I've been a part of it. I feel so fortunate to be a part, one of the part of our institute. And I feel very strongly about this, is that individuals that choose to become certified through the Institute for Dream Studies, it's not just didactic learning where we're studying text and all of that, but it's very experiential. I feel like, you know, this is an opportunity for us individually to go deep into our own personal nature and explore ourselves personally. And then we can reach out and help other people after we do that for ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. It was that year of studies was definitely a dive deep. It was an inner journey. As you said, it wasn't just reading books and writing papers. It was a lot of inner work and inner observation. And I believe, as you said, this is the way of really learning something. And, you know, you can't expect others to look into their dreams if you never do it yourself, or share their dreams if you never share your dreams. It's like when you go to therapist, you should always ask, do they go to a therapist as well? Because there is something about it that I feel that we must be also constantly working on the area of our expertise, of our passion, in order to be really authentic. So it comes from a really deep place, not just from the head, right? Not just from the books, right, not just from something that someone else written and someone gave us the formulas and exercises, and we just keep repeating someone else's ideas, which may be amazing, right? But there must be this part that it's coming from us.
Yes.
And when did you decide to start it, the school, the institute, to be online? Because it was in person at the beginning, right?
Yes. In the beginning, people actually came, and it was a 2-year program. Actually, I started it as a 1-year program. At the end of 1 year, I was like, wait,
we need more.
It's like, you're not finished. And I did give them the choice, but I was like, there's so much more. And so they all agreed that they wanted to do it another year. So the first few classes were 2-year classes. And then what happened is travel became more difficult because we had people, you know, a student from Iceland and from the Netherlands. I mean, and just travel was no fun anymore for people. It was just very expensive and very difficult. And at that time, I started the online courses, and that was before the pandemic for us. And so we were in a good position during the pandemic to continue as usual and continue the online classes. It's always amazing how that online work, because we meet together, you know, as you know, regularly. And I'm always amazed, like, Joanna, that I have never met you, but I feel like I know you.
But definitely.
It's amazing when the International Conference, the International Association for the Study of Dreams, has an annual conference. And when I meet people, I can't believe I have met them in person, because I know them at a very, very deep, real level from their studies. And online has been great for us.
Yes, I'm very glad that you decided to do that so I could join. Could you tell me a little bit about the method, the dream method that you developed, the dream synergy? How did you come up with it? What is it? How to work with it? How it can help us when we look into our dreams?
Right. Well, I wrote Honoring the Dream, which was a handbook for dream group leaders. That was the first book that I wrote. And I wrote that before I started the Institute. And that really gave the foundation for a platform for study and process for study. So after I did that and I'd been leading the Institute, it was like, okay, there's so many people in the world that are not going to be able to commit to a program like I was offering. And since my target audience was the whole world, every individual, I thought, I've got to do something that will reach the people who have a slight interest, but want something easy. When I ask people that had never paid attention to their dreams and seemed to be people that were interested in the world and understanding the world, and they still didn't pay attention to their dreams, I was like, what is preventing you from paying attention? And most often I found that it was not understanding and not having the time to delve into it in the way we would with the certification program. So I spent years trying to come up with a process that would be easy for people. That people like things simple. And because dreams are so expansive and so, I mean, inclusive of everything that has ever been and will ever be, it was hard to make that simple. But this dream, this book, Wake Up to Your Dreams, as I was working on this book, I kept that focus of, I want everybody to understand the importance of dreams, the importance of their personal dreams, and how this can lead to authenticity and a world understanding that will bring us peace and kindness, you know, forever. Why can't we get there? Our dreams are always leading us there. So I developed what I coined dream synergy, because, you know, we're taking the dreams, but we're taking the synergy, all of that energy of everyone, and we're putting it into this knowledge that is innately available to us, but not easily available to us. And so if we take the energy of the individuals working together, like in group work, and we take the energy of the various dreams that we have and bring that together into community with the dream, then, you know, it produces incredible outcomes. And basically the dream synergy process, I narrowed it down to three categories. As you know, all of this, you could lecture on this, it is characters, emotions, and beliefs. And this is what, when I looked at all the aspects of dream color, numbers, all of that is important. But I looked at what really made people change, because that's what I've been interested in. Where's the change happening? And I thought, if they understand the characters in their dreams as aspects of themselves, and they can really look at themselves in a way that they've never seen, and if they can begin to look at their emotions and delve into that and fully feel and accept whether they're mad, sad, glad, or afraid, and if they understand how their actions are based on beliefs that they've never examined, beliefs of their family, beliefs of their community. And if they can understand that and either decide to keep that belief or change that belief system for themselves, then they can change. And change will happen if they begin that. As you know, we have the motto for Dream Synergy is dreams plus action equals change.
Yes, the action part is very important, because we may, you know, analyze and understand our dreams and see certain things there. But if we don't take any action based on what we discovered, we will just continue having the same dreams and being in the same place. I mean, understanding is important. It's obviously a first step for change, because you first need to understand where you stand. But the action part, it's very, very important. What can we do? When we say action, it could mean so many things, right? And it's also called the honoring the dream. It's the action that we take, right? Based on the dream. Could you give some examples, so someone who maybe it's not really familiar with that could understand how little or how big the action actually can be?
That's great. Because even learning about dreams is an action statement. So that may be the first step for somebody that's not real comfortable, or that has grown up with the belief systems that dreams are not real and they're fantasy or they're dangerous or any kind of beliefs in different cultures. So just stepping forward and making a commitment to learn something about them, to read a book, to read Wake Up to Your Dreams, to listen to this recording for us, our conversation, that is an action step. To go to the Dream Synergy website, dreamsynergy.com, and listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that. Just start, you know, taking some time. I mean, 5 minutes looking. A big action step is to begin to record and, you know, to journal your own dreams. And that is the first step when people come to me that I really like to have them commit to. And that is saying to myself, I am going to take time to remember my dreams. I will talk to people and they are like, oh yeah, I've been trying to remember my dreams. And I go, so what are you doing to help yourself remember? And they go, well, I just would like to remember. And this would be an action step. I was like, do you leave paper and pencil by your bed or a phone recorder or something so that when you wake up in the night, you know, you can remember your dreams? Oh, no, I haven't done that. And I was like, well, that would be try it tonight. And that is the first step. I always say we can't fool our unconscious.
No.
So I can say forever, oh, I want to know about dreams. I wish dreams could change my life. And, you know, all of these things. But unless we take that action, our unconscious is not going to, you know, help us. And if we take the smallest action step of putting that paper and pencil or having our phone recorder ready to record our dreams, you know, it will be amazing how our dreams open to us. Because in order to work with our dreams, we do need to remember our dreams. So that's the first step. And on our website, we have like the top 10 tips for remembering your dreams and a lot of action things. Information on how to record your dreams, like how to use the dream journal and things like that. So those are easy action. But I think another thing that you might have been leading toward is the actions in our life once we have a dream and it's asking us to do something and it's asking us to usually do something that we have refused to do for a long time, of taking that action. We often know what we need to do, but what I found out with dream work is the dream actually supports us taking that huge leap, jumping off the cliff. It's not always a cliff. It can be something very simple. I think of a dream right now with us talking about this that I had where I was carrying a huge stack of books and papers and all kinds of things in my arms. And I kept dropping things because I was trying to carry so much. And in the dream, I kept leaning down to pick up something. And every time I'd lean down to pick up something, something else would fall. You know that feeling of,
yes,
oh, then I dropped that. And so I was constantly picking up and reshuffling and reorganizing to keep carrying this huge load. And so it was very simple like that in the dream. I just was going throughout the streets doing that. And when I wrote it down the next day, I was like, I am carrying so much right now. I am carrying way too much. And in the dream and in my life, I was not succeeding at what I was trying to do because I was carrying, my load was too heavy. And so I did something that was so simple the next day, but hard to do. I pulled out my calendar and I looked at the next month. And I canceled things. I made some tough phone calls and I said, I can't do it right now. I may be able to do it in the future, but I cannot do it right now. And I gave myself that gift, but it took the metaphorical language of actually seeing myself trying to carry and be unsuccessful to allow me to make that action step.
Yes, sometimes if it doesn't come from the dream, we are really not aware that something is going on or we don't see clearly. I feel that if we dedicate ourselves to understand our dreams, we can pick on those messages pretty easily. And whether we like them or not, it's a different story later. But I agree that our dreams have our best interest at heart. So they will show us really what we need at the certain moment. to get better, to get healthy, to whatever it is. So, but at the same time, if we don't open this door of connection with our dreams, we're not gonna be able to receive or understand those messages. And it's something that I hear quite a lot from people saying, or they say, all right, I never have a dream, I never understand my dreams, or I just get like mundane dreams that they don't mean anything. And I always say, like, well, first of all, every dream means something. So even if it seems mundane, there is still a lot of gold there. But also, if, as you said, like, if you don't put an effort, if you don't consciously do some steps in order to connect to your dreams, like, you're not going to get the, in quotes, big dreams, because as you said, your consciousness is smart. You don't seem to be interested, you know? So it's right. Like, you complain you don't have amazing dreams, but you're not really interested in dreams.
Right. Yeah, I'm amazed the number of people that after coming to a lecture or something, or just running into me and talking, I'm sure you've had this experience, that they're saying they don't remember their dreams. And I said, well, just pay attention tonight since we've talked.
Yes.
Pay attention. And
yes.
They call the next day and they were like, oh my gosh, I had the most amazing dream. But see, it's just telling us. And to Joanna, I think that some people fear opening up their dreams for what they might contain. And something you just said, that dreams come to us for wholeness and well-being. So our dreams are our very best friends. I have learned that so well the past 30 years. There is nothing that cares for my well-being and wants to see me happy, successful, you know, in relationships, career, and in my health. I mean, it has helped so much in my health with autoimmune things, giving me ideas to share with doctors. It's amazing what is available to us. And you know, the fact that dreams cost us nothing, and that they're fully available every night. We're having 5 to 6 dreams a night.
Yes.
All of these things, they're right there for the asking. And they are so filled with gifts. And it amazes me that more people don't pay attention. I just want everyone to wake up to their dreams.
I agree. I definitely feel the same way. I wanted to ask you how, from your experience, how dreams can support us in hard times. Like, nowadays we are experiencing so much hardship. There is chaos, there is war, there are personal issues, collective issues. So we're living in pretty intense times. And I believe that dreams have very special place during these times, and they can bring us so many things. What's your experience with that?
Yes. It is an especially important time for us all to pay attention to our dreams, and for those of us who are already paying attention to reach out like you are to other people. People don't know where to turn. And even though it's a completely different situation, during COVID, it was that fear of the unknown. And I think we're in that time right now with war and chaos in the world. Dreams have so much to offer. They will show us our strengths. And in addition to our strengths, they show us our fears. And I found that in dream work, that fear is the most predominant emotion that comes up in dreams. And that used to really amaze me. I was like, why is there so much fear in my dreams? You know, as you know, I always have people write down the main emotion of their dreams. And in my dream journal, it was fear, fear. And when I led dream groups, it was fear. Then I started thinking, but it took me several years. I thought, okay, if dreams are asking me to be my most authentic, successful self, that is scary. Because I am really asking to be and face challenges that I've never been willing to face, and be in positions I've never been strong enough to move into. So of course we are afraid. We're afraid when we're told that we have more skills and talents than we ever imagined. We're afraid when we're said, you can be more, you can take that job, you can do it, you know, or you can leave a bad situation, you can move beyond this, you do not have to stay stuck. And moving beyond a difficult situation is frightening. And so therefore, I really like for people to look at their dream, I mean, their emotions in their dream. I think in life, we all around the world learn to camouflage our emotions, and we learn to stifle them. We don't want to appear fearful. We don't want to appear mad. We don't want to be crying all the time and sad. We're just supposed to be glad all the time. And that was certainly the way I was raised. Like, you can go in your room until you're happy, and then you'll come out and join us, but don't show us any other sides. And I realized we can't be authentic until we embrace those emotions. Well, in a time like this, again, there's so much fear of the unknown. As there was during COVID, we didn't know what was going to happen. Nothing was given, our safety, our, you know, nothing. And so the dreams helped us be able to share how we felt. And by sharing that I am afraid, then we can again apply some action to that that will create change. Until I claim that fear, nothing's going to happen, because I'm going to hide it. I'm going to contain it. And as I contain it, the energy of that fear grows, and the energy within me and my health deteriorates, everything. Our body doesn't carry fear well. But if we express it to someone, then we can brainstorm. You know, I am afraid. I'm afraid of what? You know, why am I afraid of that? I'm afraid of losing my home. You know, I'm, you know, afraid of that. What am I going to do about it? I think that I will take an action step to, if I lose my home, where would I go? Or a way to prevent or provide my safety. It can be the tiniest little thing that gives us some sense of safety. Dreams will do that. And in a time as we are in the world today, and you especially, Joanna, we need a sense of safety. The other things that dream will do, it'll remind us of times that we faced a very challenging, frightening time in our life. And in the dream itself, we may dream of that time when we were like 6 years old. And everything in our life fell apart, and maybe we lost a parent or something. Well, the dream may put us back into that six-year-old mind and body and remind us how frightening it was, and then proceed to show us how we were strong enough to get through that time we thought we would not survive. And so it gives us the strength to go on, and the experience in our past to base our new behavior on. Yes, I did that. I never thought I would make it. Yes, what got me through that? And maybe that can be a gift to get me through with what I'm facing today.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, with what you said about dreams showing us our strengths, and also reminding us that we went through many things in our life and we survived and we made it. So in the times when we feel like, how can we go through this, or how we can come out of this in one piece, being reminded that we are stronger than we think, and that our dreams are also there to guide us and to show us, because if we ask, we can ask dreams questions, we can incubate dreams, we can say, I feel, you know, my mind is not really working well because I've been so overwhelmed, so stressed, with so much anxiety. What should I do? What step should I take? How I can heal myself from the pain I'm feeling? And dreams will I know it's for people that never experienced this. This may sound very woo-woo, but really, if you try to do that, that your dream brings you answers. And sometimes they may be a bit, you know, with the metaphors and maybe not so clear at the first time if you don't know your own dream language. That's why I also always advocate to looking into dreams. So when the time comes that you really need some serious support, you understand your dreams, right? But even if you don't, like, dreams can bring you also healing when you're going through hard times, that you can get beautiful dreams in the hard times. So it's the compensation between the waking state and the sleeping state.
Yeah, I would love, if we have time, to share a dream that is,
yes,
that
please,
gave that comfort and stuff in hard times. And yes, I just want to take a moment to say that you, Joanna, are a great example of taking a difficult situation and not getting lost in it, but because of your dreams and your ability to really look inside authentically and want to take action, that you are developing this incredible program to help people bring light and hope. And, you know, there are two ways that could have happened. Like, you could feel so devastated and that you just withdraw and just go into yourself and get it. You know, I'm sure there's so much depression right now. And that is when we turn on ourselves and we turn this anger we don't know where to put on ourselves and face this terrible depression. And in that, I don't want anybody to misconstrue that rest is not important in these times, and turning to self and solitude and all of that is so important. But we can take some step to help others. And in that, that gives us strength to go on and know we're making a difference. So thank you again for this. This was a dream of someone who had just had a cancer diagnosis, and it was just totally shocking. And so when I asked the emotions, she said they were blissful, peaceful, and a sense of awe. The dream: I am walking home through a beautiful open field. The sky is pale and yellow and is full of clouds. I am very peaceful and happy because it's so lovely. Suddenly, one of the moving clouds turns into an angel, which swoops down. I am stunned and excited. We point at each other, like in the Sistine Chapel. Then I am lying on the ground, face up. Another angel swoops down with big feathery wings and flutters his or her wings all over me like a blanket. It is a spiritual moment. Angels are everywhere. And that just sends chills throughout my body because it was so. And she says, in response to that dream, the angel dream has supported me in an amazing way throughout my journey with cancer. I really felt the depth, breadth, and movement of the angel's wings on me in a palpable way. And this assurance has been repeated in many other ways. I felt God was reminding me of his care and presence. Now, whenever I see a feather, even a bird feather on a wall, I think of the angel. This dream is a wonderful metaphor for my faith, past and present. And I think we're all looking for that kind of sense of being cared for and okay, and that there's something greater than us that is in charge of this situation. Yeah,
yes, thank you. It's a really beautiful dream, and it's a good reminder to everyone who maybe struggle with nightmares right now or can't sleep or have any kind of, you know, disturbances at night, that if we ask for those dreams of support and healing, they will come. So we just need to ask, and they can really comfort us. And I'm not saying that everything suddenly will be okay, and I'm not saying all the pain is going to go away, but those moments that we can experience, this wisdom, this embrace that we can feel, like you said, like being embraced by something bigger than us, regardless of our beliefs, regardless of what we think of this bigger thing is, it's so important, and it can be so empowering. And we can wake up in the morning feeling very different to when we went to bed.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like in her dream, this person's dream, where that feather is now a constant reminder. It's not that she doesn't have to go have chemotherapy. It's not that she doesn't. It doesn't matter that she might die. Any of those things, just touching, seeing a feather, it will bring back that moment of awe and spiritual nature for her. If a moment, if we have some touchstone, you know, we may have nightmares every night, but even within a nightmare, we can find something positive if we have help looking at the dream that'll show us something we can do that will give us a touchstone that keeps us connected to our authentic spiritual self.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So before we wrap up this talk, there's one more thing I would like to ask you about. In our conversation, our email exchange, you mentioned that in United States after the 9/11 attack, there was a special telephone line open for people that wanted to share their dreams, their nightmares with someone else. And I just wanted to ask you, why do you think it was important to do? And what is this power of sharing dreams that we need when the tragedy really hits?
That is such an important question of why do we need to share our dreams? And that's one reason of the, I've called the process dream synergy. It's bringing that energy of the individual dreams and the collective dreams, the power of all that throughout the world. Even though we have different cultures and we have different beliefs, we are all basically dreaming the same dream. Mm. As human beings, we basically want the same thing. And it's so sad to see division when we all really just want the same thing for the world and for ourselves and for our well-being. Well, by sharing dreams, we began to see that. And that was something in my very beginning of dream sharing and leading dream groups I saw. And I was like, wow, these people seem so different when they began the group. And it's not that they had changed at all, but when you get down to metaphorically basis, authentic reality for individual humans, it's very, very similar. And then when I started leading dream groups at the international conferences, I was amazed. Like, we would be in a group and there would be 20 people in a group, each one from a different country. And I just was like blown away by the similarity of the dreams, different languages, different symbols within the same language. But so we might not understand why a certain calendar was symbolic for them in that country or a certain picture. But it led to the same thing of understanding because of our collective human nature. By sharing the dreams, we share that collective nature. We begin to feel connected. We feel less of what's different than what's alike between us. We see the similarities. We see the hopes, the dreams, as we use that word. And when I, within 5 years probably after I started my dream work, my goal, and I haven't met it yet, was that I gathered all the leaders of the major countries in the world together. And I had them sit in a circle and share a dream. And I knew that if I did that with the leaders of the world, there wouldn't be another war, because they would see that authentic, vulnerable person that was within that body. And they would see it within themselves, but they would see it in the other. And they would see that the other was so similar to the self. And I don't know anything that can give us that picture the way dreams do. They give it to us so softly and so freely that we need to share. Another reason for sharing, and that the Nightmare Hotline was created, and was that the energy in a nightmare is terrifying often. We think we don't want to repeat it. Most often I hear people say, oh, don't make me tell it. Oh, please,
yes,
don't make me share that nightmare. I don't want to put the energy out there. And when I can encourage them to share it, immediately upon sharing it, they feel a sense of relief. They're like, wow, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Suddenly putting it out, sharing it with another person. And that's why the Nightmare Hotline was created. So even if in the middle of the night, it was 24 hours, seven, we different members of the International Association for the Study of Dreams took a time, day slot, and we were available to answer the phone. So it gave, you know, anybody waking up with a nightmare or one from days previous, they could call and share it. We didn't do anything with it. It was just, I mean, I say we didn't do anything. We gave it witness, and that is so important. And I encourage people, if they're doing that even with friends and stuff, we don't need to talk about what it means or anything. We just need to hear it. And with children, it's the best thing that we can do, and especially during these times, to let children, what did you dream last night? Tell me about your dream. Do you want to draw your dream? I have all my grandchildren, you know, drawing dreams. And it's just before they can write. And then they start writing, and they're not letters, but they think they're writing in their dream journal. But they're pouring out that heart of what is bothering them, what they're dealing with. We're all dealing.
It was so beautiful what you said about witnessing other people. Dreams, nightmares is many times more than enough. Just giving the loving, kindness, presence, listening, it's more than enough. We don't need to always analyze. We don't need to always look for meanings and clues. And we can just really share it and put it out there and see what happens. And I also believe that dream sharing is so important, because if we really show our vulnerable self, as you said, if all the leaders of all the countries would sit together and share their dreams, as you said, we would see that in our core, we're all the same and we want the same things. And that could make a huge impact and difference in the world. It sounds very utopian, but I do believe in that. And that's also why I started this project. And also that's why I want to keep sharing this message that dreams connect us and dreams show us who we really are and help us show us to the world in a more authentic and loving way. And this is what I wish to see more in the world. So, Justina, can you just share with our listeners where they can find more information about you, about your books, about Dream Synergy?
Yes, thank you. We have two websites. One of them is Dream Synergy, DreamSynergy.com. And that has, it's a great place to go learn more about dreams. A lot of newspaper and magazine articles that I've been involved in, and a lot of radio programs, TV programs, things like that are there. So you can just take a short, quick dip into learning more about dreams. And there you can learn about books and programs that we're doing. And then the other website is InstituteForDreamStudies.org. And that is about the academic and educational aspects of our institute. It'll give you more information about our certification program. And again, has information about my books and suggested readings and things like that. So you can go to both sites. I also do programs on gladwing.com. GLIDEWING.com. It's an exploration in 3 weeks of dreams where you're watching videos, and then I'm there every day to answer questions. So you can do it at your own rate. It's a great, if you're really interested in getting involved, it's a great beginning to that. And we'll probably have a program in February coming up for that. Our new certification program begins in January 2024. So, you know, my email address is Justina, Justina, at dreamsynergy.com. And I'd love to hear from people. And again, thank you, Joanna, for what you're opening up.
Really, thank you for being here, Justina, and may we all dream better world together.
I really hope that you enjoyed this show. If you did, please consider giving it a like and maybe leaving a review. And most importantly, feel free to share it with your family and friends. For more information about my work and projects, you can check out my website, www.bluelotusqueendom.com.